Testing 1, 2, okay. Well, bless God. This is part of a series that I'm talking to you on prayer. I preached this many years ago. And prayer is something that we need a lot more of. It's something that we don't always understand too well. And I do believe it's something that God wants to enhance in everybody's life. So I want to start by asking you a question. Who of you would say that you have faith? You have faith. I'm not talking about faith to move mountains. I'm just talking about you have faith. You have a general faith that God is real, that God is involved in your life, and that God is busy doing good things for you. Okay. Now let me ask you another very important question. Who of you would say to me today, Rian, you know what? I do have some faith, but I realize I do not have enough and I need a lot more. Okay. Keep your hands. Take a look around. I see your hand, Lee. You know what you remind me of? When we were in the class and you needed the toilet very badly, it's like, I see your hand. Now, I'm going to tie your answer that you gave me now into the sermon just a little bit later. Listen to this. James chapter 1, verse 2 to 8. Consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you are faced with trials of many kinds. Let's stop right there. Consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you are faced with trials of many kinds. In other words, not one, not two, not three. You know, there's a word that I can't use now because I'm preaching. But it's like a massive amount of trials. What should we do when we are confronted with a massive amount of trials? Alberto, what should we do? No, we should consider it pure joy. You should be jumping up and down for joy. And I want to tell you something. That is something that I don't think anybody in this room is at that point now. You can be at that point because the Word of God said you should be at that point, but we are not there right now. Can we agree with that? Look at your neighbor and say, I'm not there yet. Now that's not a lie, because I know that you're not there yet. I'm not there yet either. You know, sometimes when things go wrong, I also want to lose it and freak out and perform, but somewhere we are not understanding things properly and we are not applying it properly. Now let's go back to this. Consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds. And I just want to say something. James did not smoke something just before he wrote this. This was inspired by the Holy Spirit. In other words, that means it is possible to get to this place. Amen? Because you know, now here's something that you should know that you might not know. Because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. And perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. If anyone lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him. But when he asks, he must believe and not doubt, because he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. Sorry, this thing is a bit loud. Testing 1, 2, better. But when he asks, he must believe and not doubt, because he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. And that man should not think that he will receive anything from the Lord, for he is a double-minded man and is unstable in all that he does. Okay. Let's start off by saying this to you. Whoever told you that the Christian life does not come with its share of trials and tribulations and problems does not know what they're talking about. In fact, I want to go so far as to say to you that if somebody did say that to you at any point in time, they were lying. Now listen to this. James says, consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever. He doesn't say if you are faced with trials. He says when you are faced with trials. I don't know about you, but probably by now you figured it out, seeing as I've figured it out, that you cannot escape the trials and tribulations of life. It's part and parcel of living down here in an imperfect world. Look at your neighbor and say, the world is not perfect. Why is the world not perfect? It's not because God made it and He made it imperfect. It became imperfect when Satan took reign of the earth. The place where we are living is no longer the place God created. The enemy perverted it in many ways. And the fact is, we are born in this perverted world. And therefore we get touched by the rubbish that is in this world, and it creates problems, it creates trials, it creates tribulations, it creates all sorts of nasty things for us. Let me give you some scriptures. John chapter 16 verse 33 says, I have told you these things that you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble. I want you to know, listen to what he says. I have told you these things that you may have peace. In other words, he says, make peace with the fact that in this world you will have troubles. If you can't make peace with the fact that in this world you will have troubles, you are going to lose it every time. You have to make peace with it. It's going to happen. And he says, but take heart, for I have overcome the world. Take heart. Look at your neighbor and say, have peace. Problems are on the way. Oh, you didn't expect me to say that. That's what the scripture says. Listen to me carefully. Let's not beat around the bush. This scripture says, have peace. Trouble is coming.
I have enough problems.
I know. And I can't promise you that you're not going to have more. But I want you to know what God says to you today. God doesn't say, fall apart. Trouble is coming. God says, have peace. Trouble is coming. Why does he say, have peace, trouble is coming? Because he's God. And before the trouble comes, he knows exactly what's coming. And before the trouble comes, he's already planning your way out. The word of God says, no test, no trial will come that you cannot conquer. But you have to believe that. And you have to know that you can have peace in the midst of trials, in the midst of strife, in the midst of problems, in the midst of the biggest blow up that you can think. You can have peace, not because of the problems, but because of the one who's going to help you through the problems. Amen? I have told you these things that you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart. I have overcome the world. In other words, what he is saying to us is, I have already overcome the problem that is facing you right now. Have peace in me, and everything will be okay. If we focus on the problem, we fall apart and we sink into the pit. If we focus on the one that conquered the problem, we come up out of the pit and we conquer the problem. Acts chapter 14, verse 22, Paul speaking, strengthening the disciples and encouraging them to remain true to their faith, he said, we must go through many hardships to enter the kingdom of God. He doesn't say a hardship. He doesn't say a couple of hardships. He says, we will have to go through many hardships to enter the kingdom of God. My friend, let's just be frank. That's frankly. Anyway. I didn't sleep enough. I'm getting mixed signals coming from up here. But we don't really like problems. We don't really like issues. We don't really like drama. And if it was up to us, we would never go through any of these things. I know, because I wouldn't like to go through them either. But like he said to us here, I have told you these things that you may have peace. God says, make peace with the fact that today you are in the dwang and tomorrow you might be again and the day after you might be again, but I'm going to help you through all of this stuff and you're going to be okay. Can we repeat that? I want you to raise your hands and say, Lord, I understand. Problems are part of life. But in you, I can have peace. I will get through it. I will conquer it. It will not destroy me. And that is the truth. Amen. That is the truth. Now, Peter puts it this way. He says in 1 Peter chapter 4 verse 12, he says the following. He says, dear friends, do not be surprised at the painful trial that you are suffering, as though something strange were happening to you. In other words, Peter says, listen here, why you act surprised when you got problems? It's part of life. It happens. I like to use Moses as an example. Moses was an amazing man. In fact, if you look at what Moses, not Moses, God did it, but Moses was the man in charge. If you look at what he accomplished, getting the Israelites from Egypt into the promised land, and all the logistical nightmares that he had to face, all the problems and all the trials and tribulations that came across his way, he has to be considered one of the greatest leaders that ever walked the earth. He was a true leader. He was a wonderful man of God, but his life was not devoid of problems. Moses was born to an Israelite mother. Just after he was born, Pharaoh decided there was too many Israelites and he was going to murder all newborn babies. Moses was saved because God had a plan for his life, but he ended up being raised by strangers. For a while he was with his mother, but he never really had the privilege to spend time with his mother the way that he should have. He was removed from his mother at an early age. And then, when he was trying to stand up for a fellow Israelite, he happened to kill an Egyptian, and he had to flee. His life of privilege was taken away from him because at that stage he was one of the princes in Pharaoh's court, and he must have had a very privileged life, and he must have been doing fairly well for himself. He had to flee into the desert, and he had no time to take nothing with him, because he knew that if they catch him, they would execute him for what he had done. He found himself wandering aimlessly in the desert, and it ended up lasting 40 years. Do you know what he did when he was in the desert? Yes, I'm sure you do. He eventually became, what? I don't know if he really became crazy. Probably that day when he saw the burning bush, he thought, oh, I'm losing it. But no, he became a shepherd. What he was doing is he was tending another man's sheep. To go from the top, to go from the palace to the desert, to go from being a prince to being a shepherd, that's one hell of a drop in status. That's a big cut for anybody to take. But then he has a wonderful encounter with God. He sees God speak to him in a way that I don't know if anybody else has ever really seen anything like that. This bush begins to burn. And what attracted him to the bush, apparently in that area, it does happen. It's so hot, sometimes things begin to burn. But as he was sitting looking at this bush, and I have a feeling that he might have seen something similar to that, or he has heard of this phenomenon before, as he sees this bush burning, the thing that tickles him is the bush is burning and burning and burning, but the bush is not being eaten up by the flames. It's not being consumed by the flames. So eventually he decides, I better go closer and I have to try and see what's going on here. And then this voice speaks to him from the bush. And the voice says to him, Moses, take off your shoes. Because the ground that you are walking on right now is holy. And he realizes, oh wow, I'm talking to God here. He has a wonderful encounter with God. He receives from God anointing. He receives from God power. He receives from God the ability to do miracles, signs, and wonders. He's taught by the Holy Spirit. How many people in this world can say, I was taught by the Holy Spirit? Probably a handful. Moses was one of them. And then God says to him, this is what I want you to do. Go to Pharaoh. He goes to Pharaoh. I want you to take into account how much he's experienced. He's filled with the power of God. He spoke to God face to face. He saw the glory of God in that burning bush. He goes to Pharaoh. Pharaoh says, stuff you, I'm not doing nothing you say. Here's my question. How did he feel? If you put yourself in his position, he must have had, because God never told him that Pharaoh is going to say no. He must have thought to himself, I'm going to walk in there, I'm going to do all these things, and Pharaoh's just going to jump this high and say, oh, your God is too powerful, I'm letting everybody go. No, it didn't happen. Because God hardened Pharaoh's heart. But Moses didn't necessarily know how this was going to pan out. It must have been a shock to him. He must have thought to himself, man, but what more must I do to get this man to realize that my God is more powerful? Then he went to the Israelites to talk to them. The Israelites weren't interested. They said to him, listen, yeah, we know who you are. We know what you did. Why you want to be here? You expect us to listen to you? The people that God raised him up to go and deliver wanted nothing to do with him. They all rejected him. Ultimately, because of the signs and the wonders that God gave him, they turned around and relented. But nothing seemed to go his way. Have you ever had a day like that? Where everything that you do seems to blow up in your face. You see, every man and every woman of God that ever amounted to anything had many days like that. Some of them had weeks like that. Some of them had years like that. I was talking to somebody the other day and I said to them, you know what? Moses spent 40 years in the desert. And I can tell you now, it wasn't nice. I'm talking about the first time in the desert. Then later on, he had to spend another 40 years in the desert. It wasn't nice. He spent most of his life in the desert. David was anointed as king. Almost immediately after he was anointed as king, Saul was consumed by jealousy and spent 40 years pursuing him every single day, trying to kill him. You are walking this planet knowing that I'm the next king of Israel. In fact, not the next, I am the current king of Israel, because Saul was already canceled. But I can't sit on the throne. I can't lead my people, because the man that sits on the throne right now is doing everything in his power to kill me. In fact, there was days when the Bible says David had to act like a madman. When some of Saul's men had him trapped, and he acted like a madman so that they would go back to Saul and say, don't worry, David is not a threat anymore. He's gone cuckoos. Therefore, we left him. Did Moses know about problems? Oh, yes, he did. Did David know about problems? Oh, yes, he did. Let's take the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul is an amazing man. He wrote 2/3 of the New Testament. He had revelations and experiences in the Spirit that he says it blew his mind. He says he can't even talk about these things because I think he knew if I talk about these things, everybody will label me as a crazy person. But you think he had a nice life? He had a very bad life. He was persecuted. Talking about the desert, immediately after he was baptized in the Holy Spirit, when he fell off the donkey on the road to Damascus, the Holy Spirit sent him into the desert to be prepared. A lot of people don't know that, but if you read in the book of Galatians, you see that he was sent into the desert. He spent, as far as I know, 3 years in the desert. It looks like sometimes God has to send people into the desert to sort out certain things. He came back from the desert and he spent most of his life being persecuted for the faith that he believed in. He says at one point that 3 times he was left for dead. Do you know what it is to be left for dead? They beat him to within an inch of his life. In fact, later on he goes on and he says, I know a man, whether in the body or out the body, I do not know. But such a man was taken up into the third heaven where he saw the throne of God. And unspeakable things that he cannot say. He's talking about himself. One of the times that they stoned him, they actually killed him and the other disciples raised him from the dead. And you thought you have problems. You thought you had problems. I want to tell you something. There is not one man or one woman of God that ever amounted to anything that did not go through trials, tribulations, problems, strife, drama. It's part of life. But you know, there's that song that says, what doesn't kill you makes you stronger. Some of you, if you could see in the spirit world when you do this, you look like Arnold Schwarzenegger. Some of you, if you could see in the spirit world when you do like this, you look like a toothpick. I don't know where you are right now. But I want to tell you something. You must go on your knees and thank God for the trials and the tribulations, because that is what prepares you for what God has for your future. Moses could never, never lead the people if God hadn't taken him through a lot of difficulty, a lot of strife, and a lot of problems to prepare him for what was going to come. I want to tell you something. To lead a couple of million people in a desert where every day they complain and perform could not have been easy. And if Moses did not go through a lot of problems and had to pick himself up, the first day that this happened, he would have said to God, I resign. I don't need this rubbish. God knows what he's doing. God knows what your future is, and God knows what you need to survive in your future. And I want to say something that is hopefully going to bless a couple of people here. If right now you are going through a lot of problems, strife, trials, tribulations, drama, then there must be something very big in your future. Hello? Come on. There must be something awesome in your future, because God will not spend this amount of time preparing you for a mediocre existence. If God is spending so much time preparing you, training you up, changing you, forming you, molding you, then he sees something amazing in your future, and he's working hard to get you to that place. Amen? Well, praise God. Moses was not divinely spared when it came to trials and tribulations and problems. And I want to say something to you. We could argue that without these trials, without the problems that he had to face before he became a leader, he would never have been a leader. Leaders must know how to handle hardship. Now let's look at our response to problems. It is said that reaction will determine result. And we already saw in the Bible that nobody is guaranteed a life free from trials, tribulations, and problems. Now we also have to accept that there are various different ways that we can react to these problems and these trials when they arise. The first way that we can react is in rebellion. Our attitude could be, but this is ridiculous, this is rubbish, this is nonsense. How can God expect me to go through all of this stuff? Why does a loving God allow all of these things to happen in my life? This is unfair. You know what, I don't want to go to church anymore. I don't want to follow God. I don't want to hear anything about God. That is rebellion. And I want to remind you, Satan rebelled against God. Where did he end up? In a bad place. Sometimes when we go through problems, that voice is going to whisper in your ear. Be angry. Turn against God. Rebel against God. You don't deserve this. You deserve better. I want you to know who's talking to you. And I want you to know what you have to do. When you hear that voice, what must you do? You put him under your feet in Jesus' name. The second thing that we can do is we can say, but you know what? I never signed up for this. I can't do this anymore. I don't want to walk this road anymore. I'm quitting. Sometimes we get despondent. We get dejected. Listen, I'm not judging you. This is what we all go through. When you pinch me, you feel what? Flesh and bones. The flesh doesn't like problems. The flesh wants to rebel. The flesh wants to quit. The flesh says, I never signed up for this. But we are not just flesh. We are also spirit. And when your flesh is weak, your spirit must rise up. Hebrews chapter 12 verse 5 says, and you have forgotten that word of encouragement that addresses you as sons of God. My son, do not make light of the Lord's discipline, and do not lose heart when the Lord rebukes you. In other words, when God allows problems to come into your life, do not make light of it and do not lose heart, because there is always a reason for it. But Rian, how can you say that? Because God is busy with your life. I want to ask a question, and do not raise your hands if you do not believe it. Because God can see your heart. I want you to close your eyes. I want to ask this question. How many of you here today truly believe that God is in charge of your life? If that's what you believe, raise your hand. If you truly believe God is in charge of your life. Praise God. You can open your eyes. You said today by your own admission that you believe that God is in charge of your life. Then I have to say this to you. Jeremiah 29 verse 11. For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. That is you, 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 all of you. I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord, plans to prosper you. Ah, oh, but Rian, you don't understand. Look at where my life is right now. You have to go through the valley to get to the crest. Do you hear what I'm saying? There's no shortcuts. You know, when you want to get to that mountain peak up there, you have to go from where you are now through one or two valleys to get there. Nothing is going to pick you up and fly you over. Life is going to take you there. But can I tell you something? That is part of God's plan. And it's in the valley that you're going to truly get to know who God is. That you will experience God's power at its greatest. It is in the valley that God will give you the opportunity to conquer the enemy that doesn't want you to get to that crest. The third way that we can handle it when God puts us through problems is grumbling, moaning, and complaining. I said to you just now, I'm not here to judge you because we all like that. Me too. Sometimes when I go through a lot of things, I complain and I moan. But I want to read you this scripture, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 10. And do not grumble as some of those did in the desert, and they were all killed by the destroying angel. You said just now that God is in charge of your life, right? Then something good is going to come from every situation. Imagine if you decide to send your child on a course that will prepare them for university. I'm just giving you a stupid example, but hopefully it'll get you to understand. You send your child on a course to prepare them for university. And every day they come home and all they do is they complain and they moan, oh, this is such a waste of time. Oh, this is ridiculous. I don't want to do this. You know, how does it make you feel? You know why you are doing it. You are doing it to prepare them. You want to give them something that is going to give them an opportunity to reach heights that you never reached in your own life. But they have not one good word to say about that. What would your attitude be towards your child? Well, you're not going to like it. You know, sometimes God takes us through the valley to get us to the mountain peak. And then when we're in the valley, all we do is grumble, moan, and complain. God feels the same way. I'm preparing you. I am answering all your prayers. And this is what you do. No. Do not grumble. And then, of course, we can have self-pity. We become aware of our problems. We think only of our problems. We start complaining. We moan. We fall apart. No. What is the way God wants us to handle things? It's called obedience. What do I mean by that? I mean we must honor God's word. Hebrews 12 verse 11 says, no discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. And that's just the truth. Later on, however, it produces a harvest. Who wants to know what the harvest is of trials, tribulations, and problems? Do you want to know what the harvest is? Listen carefully. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. Nothing that you're going through right now is in vain. Everything that you're going through right now is training for something that is about to come. Now let's talk about faith. I asked the question early on in the sermon, who of you wants more faith? Let me see the hands again. Ah. Here's the thing that you have to understand about faith. Faith will always be tested, whether you like it or not. That's the way it is. Faith will always be tested. And Satan will not take your word for it that you actually have faith. He will demand to see whether you have faith. Do you understand what I'm saying? Here's the thing with all of us. We want more faith. I also want more faith. I'm not going to lie to you. I need more faith because I know where I'm supposed to be and I know I'm not there yet. So I need more faith. We all want more faith. We all want increase. But none of us like exam time. When we have the opportunity to prove our faith and pass on to the next level. You've heard me say this many times, you know. You were at school, you know. You did not like exam time. Okay, some of you were brain boxers and you just didn't care. I wasn't one of those. Nobody liked exam time because exam time was crunch time. That's when you had to give an account and they had to see whether you studied enough. But here's the thing. In general, exam time is not designed to fail you. It is designed to promote you if you learned what you had to learn. Do I make sense to you? In other words, sometimes we look at the testing of our faith as something bad. We need a paradigm shift. The testing of your faith is not something bad. It's something good because if you pass the test today, tomorrow you don't have to write it again. Tomorrow you will be promoted. Oh my goodness, I'm in the dwang right now. I have no money, the cat is pregnant again, the dog chewed up the car seats, wada, wada, wada. Guess what? God just gave you an opportunity to be promoted. Now, how are you going to handle your opportunity for promotion? Well, shooting the dog is not going to do much. There we go. What we need to do is have faith. What is having faith? Having faith is believing that you have what you need, even though you don't see it around you. Let's make this practical. How many of you need a lot more money right now? Just raise your hands. Okay, this is like, you know. What is faith? Faith is coming to that place that I believe, I choose to believe that I have it. I choose to believe that everything is going to be okay, even though right now all the signs are pointing to me that it will not. It will. And it's when God sees faith that the Spirit of God moves. When God sees rebellion, the Spirit of God doesn't move. When God sees complaining, the Spirit of God doesn't move. When God sees self-pity, the Spirit of God doesn't move. When God sees faith, boom! There's an explosion of supernatural power and things begin to fall into place because you are showing God that you are faithful, that you have faith. And God says, it's time to promote my son, Edward, or Georgie, or Fatima, or Alberto, or any one of you. But we have to change our outlook on problems. When problems come, the devil wants you to lose it. The devil wants you to freak out. The devil wants you to give up. I want to ask you a question. If the devil is on your case all the time to give up, ask yourself the question, why does he so desperately want you to give up? What has he sniffed that makes him so stressed about your future? Because I want to tell you something. If there was no good in your future, he wouldn't try and get you to stop. He would just say, this one's future is not a problem for me. Yeah, you go on. No, don't worry. Everything's going to be okay. The fact that he's trying so hard to get you to stop, the fact that he's trying so hard to get you to be rebellious, tells you something. there is something good in your future. Well, bless God.
I've got a solution now.
What?
Every time I've got a problem, I'm going to put it
down. I like the way you talk. Did you hear what she says? The next time the bank phones to repossess the car, she's going to declare party time. Well, you know what? That is probably what God is talking about. Because when we do that, we show God, I have faith in you. When we shout and we scream and we swear and we perform, we show God, I have no faith in you. And if you have no faith in God, God will not help you. I'm not saying cannot, I'm saying He will not help you. Because God has to honor His word. He will not help you if you do not honor Him. Listen to this. The purpose of trials and tribulations is so that we may succeed and thereby develop something that the Bible says is very important. What is the very important thing? It's called perseverance. Until God doesn't see perseverance in you, God cannot say, it's time to promote you. And how does God see perseverance in you? When you refuse to give up when problems, trials, and tribulations come. Listen to me carefully, because God is speaking to more than one of you here today. And you have to hear this message. Perseverance cannot come when things go well. Nobody needs to persevere when everything is perfect in their life. They just cruise. The Bible doesn't say cruising produces faith. Problems lead to perseverance. Perseverance leads to faith. For God to see perseverance in you, there must be many opportunities where the devil says to you, give up, and you say, stuff you. I'm going forward. You do not decide my future. I do. I'm going to praise God. Take a leaf out of the auntie's book. The wife phones, I don't know how that happened, but I just smashed into the back of an AMG Merc. And by the way, I forgot to pay the insurance. Guys, come quickly, we have a party. There we go. The trials do not come to cause you to fail. It is your wrong attitude that causes you to fail. Did you hear what I said? The trials do not make you fail. Way you handle the trials will make you fail. Trials come for everybody. With all due respect, they come for you and you and you and you and you and you. Look at your neighbor. Just do this. Dish, dish, dish. And you. And you. And me. Now, I'm very aware of that. I have more than my fair share, just like everybody here. But the fact is, it is not the trial that makes me fail. It's the way I handle the trial that makes me fail. Trials are an opportunity for you to prove to God and the devil that your faith is real. And for God to say, hey, it's time for Rion to advance. We're moving him up another level. Failing a test simply means you will be writing the same test over and over and over. So stop failing. Pass the test. Now, let me just explain this process. We all want to be more mature. What does maturity bring? Maturity brings wisdom. It brings understanding. It brings knowledge. It brings stability. Maturity brings a lot of wonderful things. If you think of how you were when you were a teenager, No disrespect to the teenagers, but right now you think you know everything, but you really know nothing. Because when you become a bit more mature, you realize, oh, I knew nothing. Maturity means we make better decisions. Maturity means we handle problems better. Raise your hands if you want to be a bit more mature. There we go. We all want to be more mature. We all want a complete life. There is no shortcuts. God will always follow the same process. Here's how it happens. Faith must be tried and tested. It is only needed when there is a trial or a problem that you cannot solve naturally. In other words, I need money now, or I'm in the dwang. I need a breakthrough at work. I need a breakthrough for my child. There's nothing that I can do. No, you can apply faith. Okay. Faith must be tried and tested. And it is only needed when there is trials or tribulations or problems. Victory causes perseverance, which includes many trials of faith. So, how do we get to the place that God says, okay, but I'm beginning to see some perseverance in Rian? It happens when there's lots of problems and I choose not to give up, not to rebel, not to perform, but I keep going forward. That is perseverance. When this voice in my ear says to me, ach, just give up. Why you want to take all this nonsense? You don't need this rubbish in your life. You just give up. Why you want to serve God? This God that you serve is supposed to be good and all you got is problems in your life. Why don't you just go back to, you know, the devil's old favorite. I had a lot less problems before I served God. I might have had less problems, but I was going to hell. I would rather accept the problems and go to heaven. I don't know about you, but that's just the way it is. Perseverance leads to maturity and a complete life. So God, in His way of training you for what He has for you, takes you through the school of hard knocks. He allows problems to come. And sometimes He will even use the devil to bring them, because God is God. He can do what He wants. The devil is a puppet and he doesn't know it. But there will be problems. The purpose of the problems is not to push you into the pit. It's to show God that you can persevere, that you are not just going to give up. I want to say something to you. Many are called, few are chosen. Why? Because many are called, but most of them give up. It's too difficult for me. It's unfair. God doesn't do enough for me. You know, many are called, few are chosen. Why? Because few are willing to persevere. So I want to ask you a question. You said you want more maturity. You said you want more faith. Begin to look at the problems that come into your life in a different way. Don't see it as your enemy. See it as your opportunity. When that phone call comes, or when that person speaks to you, or when whatever happens, that situation arises, before you open your mouth and just blurt out stuff that later on probably you'll regret, just say, Lord, help me. And then you say, Lord, I recognize this as an opportunity to show you that I can persevere. I'm going to do it. Give me the strength. Give me the power. Give me the grace. And I'm going to do this. And can I tell you what will happen soon, soon, soon? The test will disappear. Do you know why? Because you passed it. And your perseverance will lead to maturity. With maturity comes peace. With maturity comes blessings, favor, life. If we are honest, as we've already said, it is not nice to go through continual trials, tribulations, and problems. And sometimes when we are in a situation like that, we don't always know exactly what to do. Well, the quickest way to find a solution is to do the right thing. It's called prayer. When you don't know what to do, talk to God and tell Him, I don't know what to do. When you feel hopeless, talk to God and say, Lord, I feel hopeless, but even though I have that feeling, I'm going to choose to put my faith and my hope in You. Lord, something is telling me to give up. You know this voice that keeps speaking in my mind, but I also know Your word speaks to me and says I must persevere. I am weak. Your word says when I'm weak, You will be strong. Lord, work in me and give me the strength to keep going forward. Lord, the devil is trying to push me down into the pit, but I will not go into that pit. I was not called to be in that pit. I will not turn my back on You. I will not rebel against You. I will go forward. Lord, give me the grace. Give me the mercy. Give me the strength. Give me the power. Give me the victory. And can I tell you what's going to begin to happen? God will do it for you. God is faithful. Amen. And He will be faithful in your life, just as He is faithful in my life. I still have quite a bit that I have to preach, but that's going to take me over my time. I want to ask this question. Did anybody learn something here today? Give the Lord a big hand. I want to ask a question. This is for everybody. Who of you here knows that in the past, you did not handle trials, tribulations, and problems the biblical way? Then I can't let us go home until we fix that with God. Because obedience leads to God's blessing. Disobedience curses you. And I want to say something to you. Probably a lot of you here are under some kind of a curse because of the way you handled problems in the past. We can fix that if we turn our disobedience into obedience and if we say sorry. So I want you to put your hand on your heart. I want you to close your eyes and I want you to pray this with me. Dear Lord and Heavenly Father, I come before you today. I declare you are my Lord, my Savior, my healer, my redeemer, and my deliverer. And I love you with all my heart, all my soul, and all my strength. I realize today that I have messed up. Forgive me, Lord. I have handled trials, tribulations, and problems as a curse. I realize today it's not a curse. It's a God-given opportunity to grow, to become strong, to change, and to become mature. Yes, Lord, many times I asked you to bless me with more faith. And every opportunity you gave me, I cursed. Please forgive me. Help me today to change. Help me today to look at life in a different way. Touch my heart. Remove the rebellion. Remove the grumbling. Remove the complaining. And give me a heart that will have peace in you, no matter what goes on around me. I thank you for this now. Keep your hand on your heart. Lord, this sermon is very important because it speaks of the real deal things that happen in life. There is not one person here that is not at this very moment facing some big trial or tribulation in their life. Sometimes we look at people's lives and we think, oh, but this one is like this and this one is like that, but we do not know the private battles that they are fighting right now. And it's a reality that we did not always handle these things very well. Sometimes we did rebel. Sometimes we did curse. Sometimes we did grumble, complain, and moan. Often we feel sorry for ourselves. But Lord, your word says, we must rejoice in trials and tribulations. That is such a foreign concept to us. Only until we understand why we should rejoice. Because it means God is giving us, preparing us for something amazing that is just about to hit. I pray for every person here today, including myself. Lord, forgive us for the times that we allowed these problems to bring out the worst in us. For the times that we allowed all these problems to push us away from you, to rebel against you, to grumble and complain. And we know from the Word of God that you do not stand for these things. Forgive us if we get angry with you and help us to change. I want to ask you, Lord, to come and touch today every single person here with strength, anointing, Holy Ghost power, Holy Ghost fire, perseverance. Help us, Lord, to persevere. Give us a heart that refuses to quit. Give us a heart that will praise you even in the storm. I ask for special grace today that you will allow the Holy Spirit to come and minister to every single person personally. And for those that are stuck in the pit, to help them today to make the decision to conquer and rise above the situation. For you, Lord, nothing is impossible. And I thank you that you are about to do something amazing. We bless your holy name. Amen. Praise you, Lord. I would like to ask that lady, I had your name forget, Alida, can you please come forward? She shared a testimony with me when she came here earlier today. And I want her to share this with you because God is good. And we should hear what God is doing.
Hallo julle. I just want to tell you, you remember the apostles in the Bible? They receive from the Holy Spirit a little flammiki, flame. Yeah, a flame on the head. Yeah, and I asked God for about 3 months to 4 months. I pray. Say, Jesus, I also want a flame. I also want his flame. And I got this fire in my mind. Né? And that night, I go to Rian and I ask him to pray. I got appointment with Jesus. Né? And he just started to pray for me and I was on the floor. And I cried. And I saw God bend down with the flame in his hand. And he put it here on my heart. It was burning, nee? But I feel no pain. I was so excited. I was on the floor, say, for hours. He was carrying on with his business, but I was in heaven there. And then when I stand up, I couldn't believe it. Yella, that was wonderful. The next morning, when I go out and visit the students in the hospital, the one student must do a procedure there for me, and she would do it on a little boy, about 9 years old, and she's busy there. And he was just lying in the bed. I asked her what's wrong with him. She said he was in a motor car accident. His mother died, and his brother. He's the only one, but he got brain damage. So he's just lying down there. And I just get this heavy, big love for this child. And I feel I want to touch him. And I touch his head. I say, oh, Jesus, please help him, heal him. That's all what I ask God. And then when we finish, we leave. 3 o'clock that afternoon, I couldn't believe I do it. I never do that. I phone the hospital and ask, how is this little boy? They say he run around, eat all the food, and want to go home. That is our God. That's wonderful. That's wonderful. Das ist anders, was ich auch muss vertellen. In my class, there's a lot of students. And I never know, that time I didn't believe in a hexer, you know, witches. I don't want to know about that. And with Rian, with his preaching, I hear about this witches business. But God give me 3 dreams where I kill cats. Ne? And I've asked God, what is going on? I don't want to know this business. And then I visit Rian preaching and I listen. And then that next morning in the class, yalla, there's one lady. Every morning we first sing a gospel song. And some of them don't like it. But I don't care. I love Jesus. I want to brag about Jesus. So I don't care. And then this lady take her back and out of the door. Straight to the principal. Later the principal called me and said, listen, Alida, one of your students leaves. She says she wants to go away for 3 months and come back. Because you want to study biki more now. And she asked the student, but why are you busy studying now for nursing? What's wrong? She said, no, my forefathers tell me to kill the tutor and she can't kill me. Praise the Lord. You know, if you talk about God, God's fire is around you and nothing can touch you.
Amen.
That's finished and klaar. Oh, Jesus. Okay, and then this lady was away for 3 months. I couldn't wait for her to come back. And that morning when she walked in the classroom, I said, "Kom julle, my dearies, let's sing." And I walk and I walk and I sing. And you know, and it's beautiful. And when I reach her, I feel God want me to touch her arm. Say, "God loves you, but he hates your work." And she jumped over all the other students next to her. 2 weeks later, when we sing, she keep the beat. Nee? She don't sing, but she keep the beat. 2 weeks later, she sing with us. Praise the Lord.
Wow. Well, can I tell you something? One thing is for certain, God gave her fire.
Oh, yeah.
Amen. Guys, every day that you are in the presence of God is an opportunity to receive from God. The reason I wanted her to share her testimony, she got what she asked for that same day because she came with faith. When she went, the very next day after she spent hours on the floor under the fire of God, she touched a sick boy that was, well, we can't call him sick. He had brain damage. And how did it happen? Only God understands. But that small touch and that quick prayer, because of the fire of God, healed that child. Today you here and you have need, whatever that might be. Bring it before God. Trust God. But one thing I want to ask you. When you come to receive from God, be open. The lady that testified, Anna, that testified last week, said when she came for prayer, she opened her heart and she said, "Lord, I'll take it any way you give it." That's one thing that you must never forget. Don't tell God how to do things for you. Tell him what you need, but leave the application to him. If you need to be, she said she was stuck on the floor for hours. If you need to be stuck, be stuck. If you need to be rolling around, roll around. If you need to be screaming, you're going to have to scream. If something even weirder than that happens, we'll deal with it. That's what God equipped us for. But the fact of the matter is, I don't believe that God rejects anybody if our hearts are right. We're going to take up the offering now, but I want to first tell you what we're going to be praying for. I'm going to be praying for you about your trials, your tribulations, and your problems. I'm going to tell you why. I showed you today that a wrong attitude is 99.9% to blame for the fact that you are stuck where you are. And our wrong attitude can actually curse us. And I want to pray today for all of you because you don't know how your attitude and the way you've responded to God in the past has caused you to be stuck where you are. And I don't want you to be stuck. I want you to be liberated. I want you to be free, and God wants you to be free. And today I believe there's going to be an anointing to release people from that place where they are stuck. And I don't want you to ever be stuck again. And I want to say something to you. If you go through a very difficult time, you pick up the phone and you talk. If you can get hold of me, you talk to me. Otherwise, you talk to another brother or sister in Christ. And you say, "Listen, yeah, this and this happened. I want to scream. I want to tear my hair out. But I realize if I do that, I'm going to make a problem. So pray with me that God just touches me to calm down before I say something stupid and tomorrow I'm in the dwang because of that." We must help one another. We must support one another. The Bible says, "Carry one another's burdens." That doesn't mean that your burden becomes mine. That means when it's too heavy for you to carry, I help you to throw it off. Amen? We must support one another. We must help one another. And then obviously, if you have any other request, she came and she said, "Lord, I want to be touched by your fire." God gave it to her. You can talk to God. The anointing is here. by the grace of God, He's anointed my hands. I don't even know what's in my hands, but God does. And I want to go so far as to say, whatever you need, God can release. Amen? Because the Holy Spirit knows exactly what He's doing. And His anointing can sort any problem. Amen? Can you ladies please come forward?